Good morning and welcome to Calendar Bay Church Online. I'm Pastor John Intoff, and thanks so much for being a part of our online service. We appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to worship with us here today. And we also have started our in-person service as well. And if you would like to be a part of that, you can do that, but you have to pre-register. And so all you have to do is go to calendarbaychurch.ca and just to click on the link that's there, and it'll walk you through the process of joining in an in-person service. But if you prefer, you can continue to watch our online services. Actually, Ontario has been making some changes about some things that are going on, and so far it hasn't affected the church yet, but we are keeping an eye on that. So it could be to the point where we are going to rejoin everybody who is on the online service, but we'll keep you posted on that. At present, we're continuing our in-person service and our online service, and so you can be a part of either of those. Thank you so much for your ongoing support of Calendar Bay Church, and you can give online by going to our webpage again, which is calendarbaychurch.ca, and we thank you for your faithful giving. It's a very safe and secure way of supporting the ministries of Calendar Bay Church, and we appreciate very much the generosity of God's people. You can also mail in your gift if you want. Just send it to our mailing address, which is Box 218, 888 Calendar Bay Drive, Calendar, Ontario, P0H1H0. And so thank you again for your ongoing support. We appreciate it immensely. Small groups are up and running. We've got two going right now. And if you would like to be a part of a small group, please contact me here at the church, and I will get you connected up with one of the groups that is going. And there is, if you want to just do a group in your own home, you can also just use the online curriculum. Every week we post the curriculum that goes along with the message, and you can make that or find that and use that in your own household as well. Another resource that we've made available is the Bible discovery lesson for kids. It's a lesson for parents to go through with their kids that ties with the message that we do here on Sunday mornings. And so that is available at our webpage, which is calendarbaychurch.ca. We've also been doing some ways of keeping us connected. One is through our Facebook group. And so you can join our Facebook group just by going to Facebook, finding Calendar Bay Church, and joining the group. All the information that's posted there, we put into an email package, which we send out 6 days a week, and that is our daily encouragement. And so you can get on that mailing list if you would like as well. And so lots of great things that are available to you to help you stay connected. We also have our prayer chain functioning. And so if you have a prayer request that you'd like to get on the prayer chain, you can either call us, or you can, the preferred way is probably through email. It's more direct, and that's prayerchain@calendarbaychurch.ca. We have our prayer meeting that's here on Monday nights at 7 o'clock. And so if you're interested in attending that, please let me know, because if nobody's coming to the physical building, then a few of us just get together on the phone. So it's important to let me know in advance that you are coming to our prayer meeting. Again, just contact me either through Facebook, email, phone. I'm easy to find. We want to take some opportunity this morning as we celebrate together. The Word of God tells us that we are to take time to remember Christ's sacrifice on our behalf. And so we want to take some time this morning, and just to focus our thoughts, we've got a short little video that we'd like to show you. And let's really take the time to slow down and to focus on what Christ did for us on the cross. Jesus said to take this time and to remember what he had done for us on the cross. And as we focus on that, we remember that at Christ's expense, we now have the fullness of God's grace given to us. And so let's just take a moment and pause and slow down and let's say thanks to God for all the things that he does in our lives. And so I want you to take just a moment wherever you are and just to think about what God has done and say thanks. And so let's just pause for a moment and say thank you to God for your grace. God, you are so good to us. We celebrate the greatness of your love for each one of us, that you loved us so much that you sent your one and only Son to die for us. And as you did that, you raised us up so that we could have eternal life. So, Father, we are so thankful for the many blessings that you give, even in the midst of our circumstances, which may not be great or wonderful, but we know that you are great and you are wonderful, and that you are helping us to be able to reframe our circumstances to consider all these things pure joy. And so, Father, we are thankful for your sacrifice on the cross. And as we celebrate together, it's with a heart that is full of thanksgiving. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take the bread and let's eat together with thanksgiving. We want to take some time and sing together. Now, this is a beautiful song, classic hymn, and talking about the amazing grace of God. And let's celebrate the amazing grace that makes us that our chains are gone.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. The amazing grace of God that allows us to move into the privilege of being the children of God. And as we take the cup that represents the new covenant that is in the blood of Jesus Christ, we celebrate this and we thank God that there is forgiveness of sins and that Jesus brings a wholeness and a completeness to our lives. And I want to take a moment just as we pause here and give thanks for the shed blood of Jesus Christ to pray for the various needs that are in our congregation. You know, there are lots of spiritual needs. There are lots of physical needs and emotional needs. And whatever it is this morning that is weighing you down, let's take a moment and pray for those things. And so I want you where you are to just think of what it is that you want to have a special touch from the Lord. And let's lift those up to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you that it brings wholeness and completeness to our lives. And so, Father, as we think of those needs that are concerns that we want to give to you, Father, whether it be a need for a physical touch, for emotional healing and clarity, for guidance and direction and decisions that need to be made, Father, for spiritual issues as you wrestle with living a life that is pleasing to the Lord, whether it be for the needs of someone else, whether that be a physical need or whether maybe they need to come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, that whatever it is, Father, we lift these things up to you, knowing that in the process of doing that, your word tells us that there is a peace that can overwhelm us. And so, Father, we pray for that peace. We pray for that strength. We pray that the joy of the Lord would be our strength. And so, Father, we take just a moment to lift these concerns up to you, knowing that you are able, by the power of Jesus Christ, to work in the lives of people. And so, Father, as we take this symbol of your shed blood, we pray, Father, that as we drink together, that you would just extend your grace once again to each one of us. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's drink together. Well, we are in part three of a series of messages that I've entitled The Life You've Always Wanted, based on the book by the same title by John Ortberg. And a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the fact that God wants to morph you. God wants to change you. He's not content to leave you where you are. He wants you to be moved, to be more in his image each and every day. And so God is committed to that process, and he says that he's going to transform and change us. He's going to change our minds. He's going to change our attitudes. He's going to make us more loving. He's going to make us more compassionate. God is interested in changing us to be more like him. And then last week we talked about that we do have to beware, though, of a sleepy spirituality. And that is where we focus on the disciplines more than we focus on what we are becoming in Christ. And so sometimes when we talk about our spiritual life, we get into this rut, and it's a very performance-based faith. And to be warned that as we talk about spiritual formation and spiritual disciplines, there can be this temptation to focus more on the disciplines than the outcomes that should be coming out of them. And so if you missed either of those messages, you can go online, and those are available at calendarbaychurch.ca. Well, today we want to talk about probably one of the most significant spiritual principles when it comes to spiritual formation in your life. And I have to admit that this is probably one of, if last week's message was one that I found to be personally challenging, this one I find to be just as challenging but a key principle that we need to talk about. Most of us are aware that when it comes to becoming good at something, that it requires training. My son right now is doing some weightlifting, and so he is always going to the gym. He's pushing for his PB, which doesn't stand for peanut butter, personal best. Always trying to push himself to lift more, and he does all sorts of different training. If I tried to do some of his deadlifts that he does, I would just hurt myself because I haven't done the proper training in order to be able to do that. If I decided that I was going to run a marathon tomorrow, I probably would not last a kilometer in the whole race because I've done nothing in order to be able to be prepared for that. And so most of us understand that in the world of athletics, the world of music, that in order to be able to get better, you have to train. And this is one of the principles that when it comes to faith, there's this kind of funny line of trying to do it and training to do the spiritual life. I think many of us have tried and we've, given it a whirl, put some effort in, a little bit of willpower to try to see if we can move forward on our spiritual journey. But oftentimes it ends up just being a frustrating process because just like, if all of a sudden I just decided to run that marathon, I could try. I could really, really try. And I could believe that I'm meant to run like the wind. But the problem is that I didn't do the training to make that a reality. And so there's this difference between trying to do something and actually training to do it with the idea that it's going to lead to some sort of success. And so this is often a typical pattern that I have seen in my own spirituality, and I've seen it in the spirituality of others. Now, so what'll happen is that you'll come on a Sunday or you'll watch a YouTube video by a great Christian speaker, and you will be challenged about something in your faith journey, and you're going to go, you know what? I need to do better than that. And so I'm going to try my hardest. So Sunday, you will receive the message and you are challenged by the Spirit of God and you endeavor that you want to. And so you determine in your mind that tomorrow is going to be better. And so, you determine and the first day is not bad. And the second day is, well, it's okay, but it's not quite as good. And then by Wednesday, you kind of has fallen into the old patterns. And then by the weekend, it's pretty well gone. And so your determination, although really good, ended up with kind of a failure. And so then because you feel bad that happens. And so there's some guilt that you feel. And so you're feeling really guilty that you didn't quite make it. And although you tried, you didn't quite make it. And so then you start to feel a little bit exhausted and defeated because of this. And so then you come to church or listen to another message about that topic and you go, man, I really got to do better than that. And so you get on the treadmill again. And so you determine that you're going to do better. And then you kind of fall off the bandwagon. And then you end up feeling guilty about it. And the process goes on and on and on. Many of us have really not moved very far on our spiritual journey, even though there has been a willingness to try to do better. We want to do better, and we try. But the problem is that we've been trying and not training. Because there is an immense difference between trying and training. Trying is, you know, putting together a little bit of an effort, but really, you didn't really change much. It was just that you thought you need to try harder. But if you're really interested in developing and growing on the spiritual journey, you need to look at training. Spiritual transformation is not about trying harder. It's about training wisely. You know, it's not about our own personal effort. It's about being smart. And God wants us, and this is the great cooperation that takes place. Spiritual transformation is mainly a work of God in your life, but we need to be cooperative individuals as God tries to do that work. God is not going to do it in spite of us. God wants to do it in cooperation with us. And so this is what Paul, when he's talking to his young protege, Timothy, he says to him, train yourselves to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. A few weeks ago, I did a message talking about, you know, some of the sports illustrations that are through, not Sports Illustrated, sports illustrations throughout Scripture. Again, picking up on the idea that we need to be training in spiritual things. Paul says here, you need to train yourself when it comes to godliness. And he says that, you know, some of these other things are really good. Physical training's of some good. Some of us need to do more physical training. But Paul says that when it comes to training for godliness, it has benefit in this life, and eventually it is still going to have benefits as you move into eternity. You know, someday we are going to die and our physical bodies are not going to come with us. And so physical training is limited by time. Training for godliness is not limited by time. And it has benefits while we're here on earth. And it also has benefits as we move into eternity. You know, and sometimes, though, when we look at training, you know, we just think of it as the hard way. That must be the hard way, you know? Shouldn't it just be something natural that happens and it just unfolds in our lives? You know, let me use another illustration. Okay, when it comes to the piano. Now, I can't play a musical instrument. I've wanted to play the guitar, but I you know what? My fingers hurt. And it sounded awful, and it just, you know, I couldn't get past that, couldn't, but if I was, let's say I wanted to learn to play the, let's say I went to a concert, and I heard somebody playing Bach, and I thought, wow, that is incredible, I want to learn to play Bach like that, and so I'm gonna, you know, and so I decide I'm just going to sit down at the piano and I'm going to throw some Bach music down there. And it's not going to just miraculously happen. If I want to learn to play Bach, I have to learn how to do scales. I have to put a lot of time and energy. And really, that's the easy way to learn how to play Bach. Most of us would look at that and go, oh man, that is so hard. But really, if you flip it around, that's the easy way of learning how to play Bach, is to put the time and energy into it. But most of us, when it comes to spiritual stuff, we see that where somebody else, and we just want to be over there. Wow, look how spiritually mature they are. But we want the easy way in order to be able to get to there. Well, it's just like playing piano. The easy way of getting there is to train yourself in order to be able to move in that direction. And so we have to see it not as that putting effort into our spirituality is not, our own endeavor. We have to be careful. And this is where it's one of these great balancing principles is that we don't want the effort. The effort is not the big thing, but we do need to have effort if we want to get to where we go. But it's important that we don't lose focus. And that's not the effort. Like, you know, if I was playing basketball or something like that, I practice and I practice, but ultimately it's so that I can do it in the game time situation. That's what I'm doing. You know, it's not, I'm not going to be in the middle of the game and go, you know, guys, I'm not going to play right now. I'm too busy. I got to get my foul shots down. I'm just going to keep shooting, And they go, well, we got a game. Do you see the difference? It's not just about the practice. The practice is to get us ready for the real things when God is trying to work in our lives. Just a couple things of spiritual disciplines are not. Spiritual disciplines are not a barometer of spirituality. You know, and this is an important principle, and we talked a lot about this last week, is that spiritual disciplines are not the only gauge of your spirituality. You know, if I read my Bible and I pray, those are good things, but they're not the official barometer. You know, God wants us to transform and change to be more like Him. Loving God and loving people are the things that are important. That's at the heart of things. And so that it's not that it's the gauge by which we measure spirituality. Spiritual disciplines are not necessarily unpleasant. So sometimes we get the view that anything, as soon as you say the word discipline, you know, because, you know, you think about on a diet, you're just thinking, I'm just got to give up, you know, chocolate and sweets. And so it seems like an unpleasant thing. But when it comes to spirituality, they're not all, sometimes it can be hard. Yeah, I'll agree with that. But they're not unpleasant. That really they help us in order to be able to move to where we want. And spiritual disciplines are not a way to earn favor with God. That, you know, we're not trying to gain what the grace of God is already given freely. It's not about performance. It's about what can we do while we're here on earth that's going to help us to get to know and love God more each day. Because God loved me so much that He sent His only Son so that through His sacrifice, I can be in a relationship with Him. And it's not through my own merit. It's not through my own performance. That's not what it's about. Spiritual disciplines are about discovering the God who loves us so much and how we can serve Him more effectively while we're here on earth. What makes something a spiritual discipline? Well, any activity I can do by direct effort that will help me to do what I cannot do by my own direct effort. And so we're doing things that are within our capability to help us to get to the point where we can, where God will do things that we can't do. God is wanting to do great and mighty, incredible things. It says that he can do much more than we ever asked or imagined. And so, AA has the principle where they acknowledge at the very beginning, they basically say, I am unable to change my life on my own. I am unable to do that. And I need, and AA uses the phrase, I need a higher power in order to be able to help make those changes. And so they're saying, I'm doing what I can because there is something that I cannot do in my own strength. And so I cannot use willpower alone. I can't just keep trying and trying. That I need, if I really want to be sober, that I am going to have to train for sobriety. And so you're doing what you can to achieve what you cannot attain on your own and in your own strength. Spiritual discipline is any activity that can help me gain power to live life as Jesus modeled it. We want to live life as Jesus modeled it into his word, in his word. And so how do we do that? Well, we get into his word and we ask for his help. We ask for the Spirit's intervention in our lives. We do these other activities. We be still. We celebrate. We fellowship together. Why do we do all these things? Well, so it's ultimately so that we can gain power in order to be able to live the life that Jesus modeled for us. And so that we can live a life where this, the fruit of the Spirit is evident in every aspect of my life. And so as people look at my life, they see love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. All these things are evidences of the Spirit of God working in my life. And so why do I do spiritual disciplines? It's so that I will be more loving, that I will be more peaceful, that I will have more self-control, that I will have more kindness, that I will have more patience. And so God wants us to live the life that Jesus modeled. And he says, you can do these things. And if you do these things, I'll help you do the things you cannot do in your own strength. Signs of wise spiritual training. Just want to finish with these few thoughts. Some signs of wise spiritual training. Wise training respects the freedom of the Spirit. Some people, when they think of disciplines, they think of it as being very limiting, that that, you know, it's all my effort and that. But spiritual formation, and we talked about this already, is at its heart a work of God. God is interested in forming in you, morphing in you, so that you will become more like Christ each day. And so spiritual formation at its heart is a work of God. And we use, actually, I don't think I used it on the online. I did in the live service. I've got to keep this straight in my head. Is the image of a sailboat. That a sailboat, you know, is basically you're doing different things so that eventually you can hoist the sails and you will catch the wind. Spiritual life is not like a motorboat where basically you just put gas in and then you just go wherever you want to go. Motorboat is an illustration of trying to do things in your own strength. You know, I do these things and then I plow ahead to wherever I want to go. A sailboat is a much better image of what it is that God wants to do in our lives. That he wants us to do these things so that when we hoist the sail, when the Spirit moves, we're ready to move with him. And so it's God's work to move and motivate. You know, Paul said, you know, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, and then ultimately what's the process? God makes it grow. And so we do these things so that ultimately God can do his work that he wants to do. And so wise sailors begin to know how to read the wind. Can you predict the wind? No. But wise sailors start to be able to know. They look into the horizon and they see different things so that they can know how and what sails to put up and when to put them up and when to take them down and all these things. And so we can, through what we do, start to become wiser in understanding how God works. Are we ever going to figure that out? No, we're not. But we can be more mature and we can begin to get a sense of how God is moving. We can be sensitive. You know, what does Jesus say? My sheep know my voice. So we can become wise. Henry Blackaby says, see where God is working and join him. That's what spiritual formation is about. It's doing things so that when God moves, we're ready to move with him. And so, wise training respects the freedom of the Spirit. Also, wise training respects our unique temperament and our gifts. You know, each one of us is very different, which is really good. it's the way God designed the body of Christ, is that each of us is designed differently to be able to make the fullness of the body of Christ, so that we can minister with fullness and completeness all the grace of God to people, because we are uniquely designed by God. We are his work of art. We've already talked about that. And this is really good news. This is that God is sensitive to who you are. God is not placing too high of expectations on you because, well, you know, I can't do that because I'm not that type of person. And so whatever your natural temperament may be, it is not a barrier to spiritual growth. Your temperament and your gifting is not a hindrance to the work of God in your lives. And so God is, it's not a barrier to spiritual growth. And so whether you are a spontaneous individual or an extremely organized individual, spontaneous people sometimes think that the organized people just have an advantage when it comes to spiritual disciplines. You know, it's easy for them because they're organized. You know, I'm more spontaneous. And God understands who you are. And whether you are, and some of you are probably going, am I more spontaneous or more organized? If you didn't say I'm spontaneous right away, you probably aren't. God understands who you are and whether or not you are spontaneous or organized. And so he understands that, but it doesn't give us an excuse to not. God understands who you are. And so yours will look very different than a person who is much more organized. Whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, sometimes there's an advantage to being an introvert when it comes to spiritual disciplines because, you know, introverts are more interested in, you know, pulling away, reading by yourself, you know, kind of spending time by yourself. And the extroverts are, you know, oh, what do you mean I have to slow down and do this and be still? What do you mean be still? You know, the extroverts have a harder time with that. But God understands who you are. And so what your spiritual formation is going to look like is going to be very different than somebody who is more introverted. And that's okay. Sometimes I think that most people who write about spiritual disciplines are morning people. Now, there are some advantages to being a morning person. You probably will get more done, but it doesn't matter whether you're a early morning person or a night hawk. It doesn't matter. God can still use whatever. Whether you're arts or academic, you know, artsy people sometimes have a little bit more struggle with some of these things, or it just looks different. Academics, you know, reading, that makes more sense. But you know what? God respects our unique temperament and our gifts. And so your spiritual formation is going to look like no one else's. But we can't use it as an excuse for not training for spiritual formation. Even artistic people know that, you know, if you want to become a good band, you have to practice and you have to do the work. And so God understands your unique gifts and temperament. Wise training will also take into account our season of life. You know, when I reflect on when I was a much younger man and all the spare time I had, oh, you know, it was a totally different experience than when we had kids, number two, when you're working a full-time ministry job. You know, different phases of life, you know, and I know that some, you know, the transition to having kids for parents is a tough one. It's very tough. And so it's good news to know that God takes into account your season of life, that no matter what season you're in, spiritual formation looks different at different points in your life. And so if you're a senior, you know, you might be able to have a little bit more freedom to do some of these things. When you have young kids, 2 minutes, you know, that might be it. And so it's going to look very different. And some of your spiritual formation when you have young kids is actually pouring spiritual formation into the lives that you have been given. And so, you know, it takes into account your season of life. And so you can't beat yourself up because the season that you're in, you know, I was thinking a couple weeks ago, I used the illustration of Mabel, you know, and Mabel was in a home. She was blind, you know, she couldn't read. And so like, you know, how could she, still have a kind of a faith existence when she had none of the tools which most normal people have? But God understands the season of life that we are in. Every moment is a chance to learn to be guided by God into His way of living. No matter what phase of life you are at, God is interested in spiritually forming and changing you, whatever phase you are at. And so because you don't have the free time that you had when you were younger, or you have kids at this stage of life, whatever it is, God still wants to form and work in you. And it's not dependent upon your season of life. Wise training respects the inevitability of troughs and peaks. You know, life is full of troughs and peaks. That there are different times when things are, oh, they're so good. You know, that you have a wonderful times of fellowship and encouragement, that God's word is alive to you. And then there are other times when it's not. Life is made up of rhythms. You know, every day, you know, the sun rises, the sun sets, day and night, day and night, day and night. We also have seasons, you know, that right now we're in fall, you know, then we're going to move to winter, then it's going to be spring, and then it's going to be summer. And some of the seasons in Northern Ontario may be a little bit longer than others. But there's this rhythm that takes place in life. Of seasons. And then there are other cycles. I've noticed in my own life that I have cycles of behavior, that there are certain times when I'm more depressed and other times when I'm not. And then so there's this cycle that takes place. And so people have different cycles that affect their life. And oftentimes spiritually, there are times of what are known as consolation and desolation. Consolation is kind of that mountaintop experience where, you know, God has done some amazing things. Or maybe you just stepped into a relationship with Christ and everything is new and everything is exciting. But there's also times of desolation, which the Bible talks about being a valley type of experience. And so God is going to teach you in both of those things. And most of the time we think that God works more in the consolation moments. That, you know, when God is so real and so good. But I have discovered the exact opposite. That God has done His greatest and most miraculous work in my life in the times of desolation. When I don't know where He is. When I have struggled with loss and grief, and I have gone through the ringer as far as relational things go. God is interested in helping you grow in both times of consolation and desolation. And it doesn't matter which you're at. God can use both of those times. And ye will surprisingly do more work in your life in the times of desolation than in the times of joy and mountaintop. And wise training begins with a clear decision. And this is probably one of the most difficult moments. You don't just drift into a life of training. You know, most of us go through our spiritual life just hoping that somehow through the passage of time that somehow we will move further on the spiritual journey. But as we know with most things in our lives, I do not all of a sudden just drift into a ripped body I do not just drift into a wonderful guitar player. I do not just drift into these things. In order to be able to get to them, I need to move towards training. And Jesus confronted people about the choice to be a follower. Jesus went around and he asked people, "Will you follow me?" That Jesus wanted people to make a choice to follow him. And that choice to follow was completely life-changing. But Jesus described it as a pearl of great price or a hidden treasure. Jesus used a couple parables. And he says, you know, the guy who collected pearls and he found the best pearl ever. And he gave up everything to get that pearl. That a man owned a field or found a field that had a hidden treasure. And he sold everything in order to be able to get that treasure. Jesus promises us a life that is beyond our expectations. It is the pearl of great price. But many of us are unwilling to make the decision to fully follow him and to commit ourselves to a life of not trying, but really training ourselves in godliness. Because Paul says, train yourself in godliness and you will find that it has benefits for this life, but also into eternity. And so the challenge is this. Are we willing to make the choice to stop trying and sell it all and follow Jesus? We need to make the decision, I'm not going to try harder anymore. I have tried through my own willpower. I have tried through my own strength to do the spiritual journey, and I have found myself to be sorely lacking. But today, instead of committing to try, I'm going to try training in righteousness. It's a huge shift. Are we willing to follow Jesus and make that commitment? Let's not just try harder. Let's train. Heavenly Father, thank you that you love us and that you sent your Son to die for us so that we could be in a relationship with you. And then you call us to follow you and to dedicate ourselves, to train ourselves in godliness. God, help us to not just try harder, but that we would really focus on what it is that you are calling us to do and take the steps that is needed to train. And so, Father, we pray that you would help us to be able to do that. Maybe wherever you are you willing to make that commitment right now? You need to choose. I choose today to train myself in godliness. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The great thing is that the process of spiritual formation is, for the most part, a work of God. And so make this your prayer as we close the service. The Bible says that we need him. Just as the AA person realizes they can't make any changes in their life without the help of a higher power, we will not be able to make the changes that we need to make unless we have God's help. Let's sing this together. Lord, I need you.
Thank you.
I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. And without you, I fall apart. And you're the one that guides my heart. And Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. And when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay.
Well, I hope you made that your prayer as we close the service today. Lord, I need you. Every hour I need you. And we need God's help if we want to train ourselves in godliness the way that God is wanting us to do. Let's not just receive the challenge today and give it a bit of effort tomorrow and then quickly fall back into the same old things again. Let's train ourselves in godliness. I'm going to post some different articles this week to see if that'll be an extra help. And so go to our webpage and take a look at some of the extra articles that are going to be there in order to be able to help us move towards training. training in godliness. And over the next number of weeks, we're going to take different disciplines and how God can use those in our lives to train to be more like Him. God bless you. Be safe. And I hope that you have a wonderful and fantastic week.